Nice to have you with us today. I'm Gary Nall. We begin our program, as always, with the latest on health and healing. A University of South Australia study shows that consuming walnuts can reduce the negative effects of stress. And we know that walnuts are extremely nutritious. Of all the nuts, it's number one. And this time, it shows it can lower your risk of type 2 diabetes and fight certain types of cancer. A clinical trial conducted by researchers at the University of South Australia has found walnuts also provide mental health benefits. Daily walnut consumption, I would say 2 ounces, in a small group of undergraduate students was shown to effectively reduce stress and depression and counteract the negative effects of stress on your gut and metabolic health. So you can eat walnuts, but if you have diverticulitis or any of the common irritable bowel syndrome symptoms, I would suggest you eat an organic sprouted raw walnut butter. And butter doesn't mean dairy. It just means they've mashed it up and pulverized it so it's smooth and easy to digest. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. They have a lot of the omega-3 fatty acids. It's one of the vegan sources. It's good for your heart. But it also is noted that it has serotonin precursors in it, so it helps you with your mood and you get a better night's sleep. So, one more reason to have something natural in your system. Now, from New York University Legume Health Center, eating 80% of your daily caloric intake before 1 p.m. could help prevent diabetes. That's correct. Let me repeat that. If you ate 80% of your daily caloric intake before 1 p.m., you would help prevent type 2 diabetes. This was presented at the annual Endocrine Society's meeting in Chicago. And this is all about time-restricted feeding. Now, we know that if you have a intermittent fast, meaning by the time you eat dinner, you don't eat anything else until breakfast. And if that's 12 to 15 hours, that really helps you. That's one of the hallmarks of extending the lifespan and extending the telomere length at the end of our chromosomes, which keep them from unraveling, which means we live a longer life. So, have yourself a nice big breakfast. Have yourself a moderate lunch. And then maybe around 6 p.m., have yourself a light dinner. It might be a salad, low calories. You can have a big salad, it'll fill you up. And think of all the wonderful things you can put in the salad. Jerusalem artichoke. And you can put in there also olives of different types. And you get low sodium olives also. And then you can put hummus in there, or baba ganoush. You can have different types of sprouts. But that's low calorie. And that's not going to adversely affect your metabolism. But don't have your big meal at dinner, and that's what most people do. In fact, many people won't have breakfast at all. They're going through nutrient deprivation, but then when they do have dinner, they eat too much, and it's too late at night, and it's still in their body when they go to sleep. Not good. So that's a good study. In fact, I was just looking at where it was from, the New York University Legume Health Center. I think it was about 5 years ago, I got a call at 11 o'clock in the morning in my office from someone associated with a demonstration that was going on, Dell Bigtree's group, at the Legume Center, and there was almost no one there. So I put the word out on my radio show that I'd be over there, and hundreds of people showed up to join in the protest against the mandatory vaccines at that time. That was the last time I was over there. Now, another study, and this is important. This is from Harbin Medical University in China. It says that we have an epidemic of loneliness and isolation today, and the consequences can be deadly. Folks who reported they were socially isolated or felt lonely were more likely to die earlier from all causes, including cancer. They looked at 90 different studies with 2.2 million people around the globe. That's important. and people who are socially isolated or lonely may be less likely to eat a healthy diet, get regular exercise, or they're more likely to smoke or take alcohol or some drugs, medications. And in addition, social isolation is linked to inflammation and weakened immune system. People who are socially isolated may be less likely to receive medical care due to their smaller social networks. Social isolation and loneliness, by the way, are not one and the same. For example, I'm a very creative person. I've been so my whole life. Most of my friends are also very creative. Now, that runs the full spectrum. It doesn't matter whether you're a writer, a performer on Broadway. We have those individuals. I know that for a fact because I counsel them. And Lincoln Center, or people who are maybe artists of different types, poets, whatever your form of creativity, to master that craft, you need concentration, you need focus, you need discipline. And that means putting yourself in that mindset, much like Tom Courtney's character, if you remember this, goes way back, the film Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. Well, that loneliness doesn't have to be loneliness. It just means you're alone when you're training that long. If you're lucky enough and to have someone who is participating at your level in the same activities, that's terrific. But when I'm writing, I write alone. When I'm doing my research, I may have other people researching the same topic, and we all bring our research together if we want to get it done in a more reasonable period of time. But it starts with an idea, and then you have to follow that idea through and see what does the evidence show. And that's what you then present. Now, sometimes that may not align with what you believe is true, but then you have to realize maybe what you believe is true isn't. And maybe what you once believed is true today wouldn't be. Just think of it this way. And when I went to build from scratch the ranch in Texas, my brother, my younger brother, said, "You really want to do this?" I said, "Why wouldn't I?" He said, "Because sooner or later you're going to die, and someone else is going to enjoy this." I said, "So? Everyone everywhere is going to experience the same thing. Think of the clothes you once thought you had to have, and now someone else is wearing. Think of the car that you traded in, someone's driving. Think of the apartments. How many generations were in an apartment? I was in a pre-war apartment for 20 years, and that was built and had at least two generations before me enjoying that apartment. Everything is going to be passed on. All we can do is appreciate the passages we're in and realize that there are times in that passage we need alone time to rebalance, to think things through, to go to neutral and try to figure out how we want to respond to the issues in our lives. And hopefully we don't maladapt or respond out of emotions. How I feel. What if how you feel is wrong? No, that can't be wrong because I'm feeling it. Yeah. It's called conditioning, propaganda. Right now we have millions of people arguing with millions of other people that one group believes that they're wrong and the other group believes the other side's wrong. And where are they willing to stop and say, look, we could both be partially right or fully right or fully wrong or partially wrong. Why don't we just stop everything and in a civil manner, let's just look at the independent facts and what will they tell us? Right now, we're not able to do that, except something has happened. I'm going to have someone play their commentary tomorrow, Dr. Jensen, 5-minute clip. We now have 300 articles that were published in the last year withdrawn, or before the last year, have been withdrawn within the last year. That's never happened before in my lifetime. Why? Because if you look at the articles that were withdrawn, they fully supported the lockdowns, the vaccine safety and efficacy, Fauci, the World Health Organizations, whatever these groups were saying, they created the science to support it. So now they don't want to be held responsible. They're trying to erase history, not realizing the internet is forever. So now they're trying to say, I didn't say that, didn't believe it. And even those who have lied repeatedly are being called out. But while they were doing it, the media wouldn't allow that. The platforms would allow it. Social media was completely controlled. But if you said the social media is not reporting on legitimate science and doctors telling you the truth, immediately you were attacked. Everything about you was attacked. Suddenly you have a negative profile on Wikipedia. They control it. But now, after Elon Musk bought it, stupid business decision, and I think he would acknowledge that. But what happened is suddenly the world was shown that the FBI, the CIA, National Homeland Security, they all were controlling everything in the way of content. That was also true on Google and Facebook and YouTube. So everything that the media was telling us was in support of the deep state and corporate interest. None of it was telling us the absolute truth about anything. So what does this have to do? Because in a society that is open and honest, you look for the problem, then you look immediately for the solution. And so if we really cared about people, we wouldn't have a nation with tens of millions of older people, not all senior citizens, but many senior citizens, some very old, and they're living alone. No one reaches out to them. And this is unique for the last two generations, where younger people don't care about older people. They just don't. They're not invited. They're into anything. Their advice is not invited. Younger people feel embarrassed by older people, as if they're never going to become older. We are an ageist society. If we're honest, and I'm doing a new documentary on this right now, and it's called Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? And it's just showing how we've completely avoided bringing older, wiser people into being relative and relevant again to the issues of our world. Think of how much life you've lived. Think of the knowledge you have. Think of the situations you've been in, the transitions in your own life. How have you dealt with them? Because no one's given a playbook how to deal with death of a loved one, of a pet, you know, of divorce, of separation, of children in a divorce. We're not given a playbook on this. Other cultures, they do, because the other cultures, the family unit stays intact indefinitely, forever. If you doubt me, go to any of the Latino, go to the Jamaican, go to South America, the Honduran, go to any culture around the world except for ours, and you'll see how the family unit is center and present throughout a person's entire life. You become more relevant, more respected, the older you get. In our society, no. Nope. Just doesn't work that way. There can be individual families, but otherwise it's not. So you can be alone by choice, and that can be healthy. For all of us who are creative, we need alone time. We need to rejuvenate. And then loneliness is separate. It's when you're completely socially isolated, when no one calls you, when you no longer are invited to do the things you once did. Because, well, that was then. That's past. I remember even once the New York Times did a piece on a man in his 40s who was still going to discos, and they thought that was very inappropriate. Why? Is there an age you can't go dancing? So we have a lot that we could focus on and learn from if we were open to it. Right now, we're just not that open. In Washington University of St. Louis and University of Zurich and University of Tilburg in the Netherlands have found that fighting loneliness by finding purpose. So when my brother was telling me this, I said, Steve, do you have any idea how much I enjoy the challenge of taking something that does not exist and creating it from scratch? So that piece of land down there that was so overgrown, the sawgrass was 12 foot high. I had to stand on the car of Gene Kleinfelder, the realtor who showed it to me, and to look over the sawgrass so I could see the property. You don't want this. Patrick Swayze's got a place down here. You might want that. It's all nice. I said, no, the energy's right here. What do you mean energy? She said, look at this place. It's a mess. And it was. Didn't look at it a year later when it was one of the finest ranches in all of Texas. Yeah, many of you came there, and you know how beautiful it was out on the lake and all the things, the teepee and the healing lodge. So in the art of creating something from scratch or repurposing something into what it ideally should be, that's a new purpose for you in your life. The fact that you're getting older doesn't mean, well, why should I even take the bother to do anything? I'm too old. I'll be dead before it's over. This is nonsense. This is fatalism. No, you're never too old to engage in new meaningful purposes, even as an activist. So that's how you overcome loneliness. I'll do more on that in a lecture I have coming up. So that's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come back. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to go directly from this break into a clip. Now, this clip you have not seen, you have not heard. But this is very important. And why is it important? Because I told you that the worst is still to come when it comes to COVID and the vaccinated. So for those of you who have been vaccinated, fine. No one's telling you you shouldn't vaccinate. I'm merely suggesting it's your body, it's your choice, but do your homework. And don't do the homework by listening to pundits, because if not now, when would you ever begin to realize you've been manipulated constantly, because they're controlled. That's controlled media. So here you're going to hear a doctor. So in the studio, we're going to play Dr. Trozzi, T-R-O-Z-Z-I. Now, who is he? He's just a mainstream board-certified physician and scientist, and he risked his career along with another group of scientists and physicians that you've never heard of, regular doctors and scientists, to collect some data, have it analyzed, and it's a horrifying idea. It's a little scientific, but it'll simply say this. If you got the RNA vaccine and were told it would be out of your body in about 4 to 5 days, and now a year later it's still in your body and it's still manufacturing spike proteins and it's still creating a hypervigilant immune response, people are dying from that. But there's something new, brand new, you have not heard before. And this is fully documented. And this should be a concern. This should cause a congressional investigation with a special prosecutor immediately, because the big deaths and the big injuries are ahead of us, not behind us. So if you've taken the vaccine, you should sure as Dickens pay attention to what you're about to hear. You will not hear or see this anywhere else, but we do our homework here, real scholarship. We're going to go to the break and come right back in to Dr. Trozzi, giving you an alert on something brand new that should, if you've had the vaccine with the best of intentions, now you better pay closer attention. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
However, Kevin McKernan's analysis and sequencing of Moderna and Pfizer vials reveals some concerning things. First is, it turns out that these injections contain 35% of the genetic content, not as mRNA, but in the form of DNA. And that includes intact DNA plasmids, the ones we just talked about that were initially put into the E. coli. Now, to put this 35% into context, the European Medicines Agency has stipulated that DNA should not amount to more than 0.033% of the total nucleic content. So the real content of DNA is more than 1,000 times above the allowable maximal contamination limit. So let's talk about the DNA plasmids and the genetic sequences that they contain. So as I mentioned, first, they contain the DNA version of the genetic code for the spike protein. Secondly, they include a sequence which encodes for a protein that will render bacterial cells resistant to kanamycin or neomycin, both antibiotics. Third, they contain a plasmid replication-inducing sequence. So what that means is it contains a genetic sequence that helps induce the replication of the plasmid by the bacteria that they're inserted into. And fourth, and only in the Pfizer vials, not in the Moderna vials, there's also an SV40-derived sequence which can induce plasmid propagation in human cells. So what do I mean by an SV40-derived sequence? So SV40 is an abbreviation for simian vacillating virus, or simian virus 40. And this is a virus that's found in both monkeys and humans. It's a DNA virus. It has the potential to cause tumors in animals. And it also often persists as a latent infection. So humans and animals can have this SV40 virus in their system, just latently there. So though the SV40 plasmid propagation sequences were not found in the Moderna vials, the fact that many people have latent SP40 viral infections, and latent viral infections with two other similar viruses, BK and JC viruses, that may provide the mechanism for plasmid propagation into human cells in those people, even though they got the Moderna vaccine, which didn't include the plasmid propagation SV40 viral sequence. So what are the problems with the high presence of DNA, including intact plasmids, in the supposedly messenger RNA injections? So I'd like to go through a few of those. First of all, DNA plasmids persist, and that may explain why we see injection victims producing spike protein for a time period long beyond the anticipated duration of messenger RNA of 4 days or so, whereas we see people continuing to produce spike protein for months and even beyond that. Secondly, plasmid DNA can be incorporated into human DNA, and that would create a permanent and inheritable genetic modification that has multiple problems with it, including the eternal production of spike protein being possible. Also, this can disrupt the genetic sequence at the site of chromosomal integration, and that creates multiple issues, most notably cancers, especially leukemia. Now, regarding this second issue of genotoxicity, the European Medical Agency's assessment report on the Pfizer mRNA vaccine notes this, and I quote, "No genotoxicity studies have been provided. This is acceptable, as the components of the vaccine formulation are lipids and RNA that are not expected to have genotoxic potential." Okay, though that was a reckless assumption on face value, given things that we've already learned, like reverse transcriptase integration of the mRNA code into human chromosomes, this goes beyond reckless when we now learn that 35% of the genetic material in the injections is DNA. And again, that's more than 1,000 times above the allowable contamination level. A third problem with the high presence of DNA and plasmid DNA in the injections is plasmid DNA, by design, enter bacteria. We are actually more bacteria than human cells by count, including mostly our gut flora, which includes E. coli. So if our gut flora bacteria are modified by the inclusion of this plasmid to produce spike protein for a prolonged time or perhaps forever, then the injection victims are constantly poisoning themselves from their own digestive tract. Regarding the DNA contamination of these messenger RNA products, the FDA's assessment reports on both vaccines don't even mention it as an issue at all. And the European Medicines Agency assessment report on the Pfizer vaccine mentions the DNA step in the manufacturing, that it's...
Okay, as you can see, this is very complex, but this is real science, independent science. Physicians and scientists working together, and they're finding out that they didn't know what the hell they were doing when they created this vaccine. It was all about money. It was about an agenda. And now we're seeing the consequences. Did you hear what he said? This is 1,000 times the amount of the DNA you're getting It should be 0.03%. Instead, it's 24%. That means then that it can become a part of your DNA. And therefore, it's entirely theoretically possible that your body can just produce the spike protein indefinitely or until you die, and you will. So just this is an addition and completely separate from the graphene that is in there slicing and dicing your microblood cells, causing clots. This is separate from the self-organizing nanoparticulate matter from the lipids. This is all separate. Everything they told you where yesterday the newspaper chain said, well, the vaccine information, it doesn't need to be debated. Yes, it does. This is what happens when you lock out people with opinions or information or evidence that challenges the status quo. I have more to come on this, but that should really be of concern, because now, if they were honest, the government would be mandating that everyone who received even one vaccine have some tests taken to determine if you're still manufacturing the spike protein and what consequence this is having upon your organs, and testing to see how many people have undiagnosed myocarditis. You heard yesterday that the most vulnerable group of people now, not senior citizens, those who had comorbidities died. We're talking about young people from 19 years old to 60 years old. People are working and had to get the vaccine if they wanted to continue working, and now they're dying at a huge increase. Well, just look, let's just say for argument's sake, and it's pretty close, 1.8 million people in the United States die each year from all causes. And now you have a 20% increase in young people dying. That's never happened before in American history. And he told you the magnitude of that happening. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people dying each year in the United States of unknown causes. Of course you can know the cause, get an autopsy. But this is what happens when they're doing this. And also, to give you an idea, yesterday I'd reported on how their National Health Services had ordered 100,000 of these special tranquilizers. These are not tranquilizers that anybody should use. These are generally given when a person's in hospice care dying and they're in pain. So they take this, and a day or two, they're dead. It takes them out of pain, but it also kills them. And they used 100,000 of those. So we can figure about 100,000 people were killed intentionally. And then yesterday, a whistleblower said, yeah, we were killing people, and they did. So is there going to be a special commission that's not controlled by the people in power? So now you see why they're withdrawing 300 articles, because all those people could be now complicit, and the lawsuits are about to begin. And here's what's going to contribute to those lawsuits. Over the past 4 years, I've written, along with Richard Gellers, scholar in residence, over 20 articles on 5G, 4, 3, 2, 1G, and Wi-Fi. We had a lot of good science to back it up. They were not refuted. We asked people to come on and debate. They refused. So after watching RFK in a discussion with Joe Rogan, he fumbled on an answer. And I thought, why don't we give him the science, the real scholarship, that right now, because he's running all across the country for president, he's not going to have time to do. And I don't know if he has any real scholars around him. I know he's got a lot of lawyers around him. But so this is not meant for the average lay consumption. This is meant for the lawyers, for the activists in this audience, and there are many, who want some real hard evidence that 5G was nothing that we were told and everything that we were not told. My hope is that this will be used properly to bring litigation, because we've opened the door of where 5G was intended to go, is going, and no one told us the truth. In fact, I'm going to give you only a small amount each day because it's so dense in information. It's called, and it'll be posted on GaryNoll.com, under articles, under 5G. 5G and beyond, a dystopian nightmare. The fifth generation of the global system for mobile communications, or what is known as GSM, or 5G, as it's commonly known, is marketed as an upgrade to the infrastructure that enables wireless technologies like cell phones and Wi-Fi. It's not a plan of small adjustments to the existing system, but rather represents a new paradigm dependent upon massive deployment of new infrastructure. And it's sold on the promise that it will bring into reality a panoply of futuristic technology possibilities. It requires the installation of many thousands or millions of new sensors and antenna called small cell antennas or base stations installed much closer together, much closer to our living and working spaces, and much lower to the ground, right at the street level, than cell towers have been before. What's more, it is using many frequencies which were not in use in prior generations of the mobile network, most notably those in the millimeter wave spectrum of extremely high frequency. For most of us, 5G began to materialize from the form of a vague expectation about the future into a concrete reality, most notably around 2020. The global deployment began in certain areas in 2019. Trials in the United States by AT&T and Verizon had begun in 2017, and plans for 5G had been in the works years before that. 5G expands the capacity of the global system for mobile communications to, among other things, enable the creation of smart cities in which thousands or even millions of sensors collect data from and about the people, any machines, appliances, infrastructure in their domain, communicating these data in their entirety to the cloud so that it's accessible throughout the system in real time, and by which people access city services through blockchain and apps, or as is envisioned by the World Economic Forum in its outline of the Internet of Bodies. True, they said this, Internet of Bodies, through sensors that are placed in your body. Now you can think, well, Gary, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to allow a sensor to be placed in my body. Yeah, you probably will if you're the average person. I'll explain why later. So the question is, what does this technology promise? Not the tantalizing possibilities of technological advancement, but like any medical intervention, any prescription for greater personal wellness in terms of safety and efficacy in achieving its stated goals, will 5G be safe? Yes, of course it would be. It wouldn't be allowed if it wasn't. Really? Prove it. We'll prove just the opposite. Will it be effective in improving our security, health, and well-being and quality of life? Of course it would. What a foolish question to ask. But I don't see that. The New York Times is in a partnership with Verizon as one of 5G's leading sounding boards. We are told we will be able to download videos, movies, and internet content in a fraction of the time compared to 4G's capabilities. Yet why would $6 trillion be spent to simply increase the speed of our computers and mobile phones? Surely there's a story that has yet been told. There's a door yet to be opened. So let's demystify electromagnetism. Before we go much further, sometimes the technical jargon of the wireless world can get very confusing for people who haven't studied it and didn't study physics. Most people in the world, though perhaps fewer in this audience, don't have a really good idea about how their phones even work. In order to make more simple and accessible a discussion of something that can employ a lot of jargon, let's draw a simple picture of wireless communications. Cell phones and other wireless technologies like Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, cell towers, antennas, communicate sound, visual images, and other data through bytes and packets of digitalized information that are sent long distances over invisible waves of energy. These waves obviously can't be seen by humans, but they can be detected by specialized meters, such as radio frequency or RF meters, videos. And we have videos of these meters detecting non-ionizing radiation, like Geiger counters detect ionizing radiation. They can be viewed online. These invisible waves have shapes. Some are long, some are short, some are taller, some are squatter than others. Some are regular, S-like curves, like a snake moving across the earth. But more often today, these waves are jagged and irregular, full of modulations and random high peaks and low valleys, like lightning or the sea in a storm, due to changes made in the smooth S shape of a wave from all the information they're carrying. Visualizing something we can't see might help make it more real in our minds. One of the biggest problems we have collectively been dealing with is heeding the warnings of those who have seen firsthand the threat posed by wireless technologies, and is that non-ionizing radiation, which we're told is safe, is something we can't see. We can't see electrosmog like we can see trash burning on the side of a road or a slick iridescent oil spill in the Gulf. We can't see it like a thick scrim of smoke in the sky, like a dirty veil over the sun. But we must learn to think of it in this way, for though we can't see it, that's what it is. That's what it's doing, and to the electromagnetic tranquility, the natural electrical homeostasis of our planet, to our bodies. If we fail to acknowledge the reality of this invisible bath of unnatural energy, which has long ago reached its boiling point, we cannot keep ourselves safe from this. One of the most dire and pervasive threats to our health and present world today. But electromagnetic energy is somewhere. What's the harm of that, Gary? What's a little Wi-Fi? Well, additionally, there has been a lot of deliberate obfuscation about the nature of man-made, non-native electromagnetic radiation promoting spuriously by wireless promoters, confusing people and anesthetizing them to the severity of the harms caused by these technologies. It is true that electromagnetism is present in all things, in all your cells, your body, your organs, your bones, and flowing your blood, in the rhythm of the heart, in lightning, in sound, from the sun and the stars, in the Schumann resonance of the earth. This is precisely why non-native electromagnetic fields produce biological effects, because biological organisms, meaning you, your dog, your cat, and all living creatures on the earth, including all flora and fauna, all the trees, the leaves, the flowers, these are all biological organisms, and they are susceptible to intentionally and externally created electromagnetic fields and radiation. The tranquility and subtlety of the electromagnetic resonance produced by forms of life on Earth and other bodies in space, by plants, humans, animals, insects, water, wind, fire, and the sun, are engulfed as songbirds in an air raid by the clamor and tumult erupting from the cell phone in your pocket. and your unremitting Wi-Fi router. If this sounds like, well, an insane exaggeration, buy, borrow, rent, or watch a video online of a radio frequency radiation meter detecting radio wave emissions in the wilderness of a forest where there are no cell phones, cellular towers, no antennas, no security systems, no Wi-Fi routers, or otherwise, then hear and watch it light up a Geiger counter as you re-enter civilization. And then go from that civilization to an airport. Go to the center of a city. Go to Times Square where you have all those big outdoor electric ads. In physics, electromagnetism is known as one of four fundamental forces of nature, which describe every interaction in nature. The other forces being gravity and the weak and strong forces. Electromagnetism underlies the attraction and repulsion of charged particles. It is what holds atoms and molecules together, and so is a fundamental principle of all matter. Electromagnetic force can be felt across infinite distance, meaning things at the other end of the universe can affect things here, albeit perhaps quite weakly. Photons are the carrier particle for electromagnetic force and are used to carry information between electromagnetic charged particles. The body has been found to emit light. Scientists in Japan used a cryogenically supercooled CCD chip and found that human cells emit photons during metabolism. Yes, they wrote in their abstract, quote, "The human body literally glimmers," end quote, noting that, quote, "The intensity of light emitted by the body is 1,000 times lower than the sensitivity of our naked eyes," end quote, and that the body, quote, "directly and rhythmically emits light," end quote. Well, so what does that mean? Later on, I'll get into what happens when you're with someone where you're literally functioning on an interconnected dynamic of electromagnetic energy. Remember I said everything in life is an exchange of energy? I've written about this for over 50 years. Well, now it's becoming ever more provable. So the hard sell, what is 5G for? The Internet of Things, we're told. I see. So do you have any interest financially, politically, ideologically, in controlling human beings in societies by telling them that you need 5G for convenience, but it's really to be able to accumulate every piece of information you can upon that person's life and then use it as you will or sell it to other companies? 5G will enable the advancement of a, quote, fourth industrial revolution. Fourth, okay. So you say, some of the technological landmarks and foundational pillars of this revolution are the Internet of Things, massive deployment of artificial intelligence that's here now. It's just how far it will go in its programming. And do you really think that anyone in Silicon Valley, anyone involved in the DARPA and military intelligence are not going to use artificial intelligence for weaponization, for controlling people, for being able to get into a person's brain and know what they're thinking and change it? Yes, they're doing that now. That's not the future. They've talked about it. We played you a video of it twice. But people didn't think that was important. It is. The Internet of Bodies. The Internet of Underwater Things. Massive deployment of blockchain. And massive new surveillance infrastructure, including so many tens of thousands of new satellites orbiting the planet, that the Earth will be engulfed in a veil of cosmic junk. The World Economic Forum, a non-elected group of dilettantes, rationalists, those who believe in scientism, atheists, these are the people with great ego say that they know what's best. Do they? The World Economic Forum presentation, quote, "Why is 5G important for the fourth industrial revolution?" end quote, outlines the multi-trillion dollar impact advanced connectivity will have on manufacturing, on wholesale and retail and resale and smart cities and homes and public services and transportation, some real-time banking, digital banking, finance and insurance, agriculture and forestry, microchip surveillance, real estate, education, mining, health, and medicine. Well, ask yourself, which of these industries have we really seen help us live a longer life, a happier life, a more secure life, a less polluted life? How about none of them? In fact, all of the shareholders who are aligned with the new woke generation, which is sponsored by the World Economic Forum, they're the causes of all of our problems. Every problem you can think of today, we're living shorter lives. Of all 50 developed nations, we're the dead last in longevity. And we're the sickest of all nations per population in the world. How'd that happen? We have more hospitals, more medicines, more diagnosing, more nurses, more physicians, more scientists. Well, doesn't it tell you at some point that if you're spending trillions of dollars, $4 trillion a year, on healthcare and you're not improving people's health, maybe you're just bone dead stupid and should become someone else's career, not in medicine, not in science. Or maybe that was the intent. We don't care about it, whether or not our medicines or vaccines or public health measures help people. We care about being able to control the outcome, which means the profit. I see. The fourth industrial revolution is a plan for our collective future promoted most prominently by the World Economic Forum. Mind you, this is a very small group of powerful corporate titans, plutocrats, political leaders, and billionaires, described by a writer from the Brookings Institute as composing not the world's 1%, but 0.00001%. The World Economic Forum has proposed and is advancing a transition from shareholder capitalism to stakeholder capitalism that would effectively uproot the notion of a democratic process. It would just be ritualized, new architecture of governance directed by global leaders, not elected. Much like the European Union. What a trash heap that is. At the top, thus sloughing off moral and legal regards for the indivisible individual, that which you don't know about, you can't be concerned about. But they do everything behind closed doors. And you don't know who they are. You know a few names, but there are thousands of them. And they want the rights over your privacy, your free will, particularly citizenship and self-determination intrinsic to you as an individual. They don't want you to have that. So 5G is synthetic biology and the internet of human bodies. The fourth industrial revolution is not intended just to revolutionize society, but to revolutionize human beings themselves. How's that even possible? Synthetic biology, transhumanism, is emerging. It's a young science. In the very near future, this science will make the leap from engineering everyday things to creating cells that take instructions and can edit the human body. Who says? Amy Webb, futurist, author, and assistant professor at New York University, explains the promise of synthetic biology in a World Economic Forum video on the subject, quote, life is becoming programmable. Now the question is, what might we do with this emerging technology? Well, the answer is a lot. It's not somewhere off in the distant future. It's now. And there's not a single industry that bioengineering will not at some point touch. End quote. Quote, the point of synthetic biology is to see we can harness what already exists in nature, understand it at a molecular and code level, engineer and re-engineer organisms to have new or improved purposes. You can think of this as contributing to the fields of traditional engineering and computer science and even artificial intelligence and other areas of biology, end quote. She mentions the COVID-19 vaccines as an example of a synthetic biology intervention in human healthcare. And exactly how well did that work? If you promoted it, can you now be responsible as one of its promoters and all the others who promoted it for being responsible for the millions upon millions of people who've suffered permanent or debilitating side effects and the hundreds of thousands in the United States who've died? If the COVID-19 vaccine had been promoted for months in the mass media as an intervention of synthetic biology with no known outcome, so the people getting the vaccine would in effect be the experimental animals. You are the cage rats. We have no way of knowing what will happen, and we're not going to do a 10-year study to see. We're going to rush this through because there's enormous profits to be made. And we're just going to lie and say that it's all safe, it's all good. And as so many personalities who are functionally illiterate about life, they're just celebrities, they're rich, they're powerful, they stop their learning, they're regressing at the intellectual level. But just tell them to go out there and raise hell and tell people they're stupid if they don't get vaccinated. And they did. They were obedient. As a result, a lot of people thought twice about the vaccine, but they didn't do their homework. No one did their homework. So are vaccinated people aware they were subject to a synthetic biological intervention? An unsettling question around the emergence of synthetic biology into collective life? That's how it's, how consensual will applications of synthetic biology be? If you're promised one thing, but they have no proof of that, and then you suddenly find out there's a side effect, are they responsible? They don't want to be responsible for anything. They've gone to great lengths to make sure that you can't sue them. Now think just in common sense alone. If someone's telling you, take this product, you must. We control your body. It's not your choice anymore. But I thought it was my body, my choice. Well, that was then. Now is we're telling you, we're demanding, we're going to put your ass in prison. We're going to humiliate you. We're going to have people curse you, wish you were dead. We're going to have people in your own family fear you. So take the damn injection. That's what one woman on NBC said. Okay. What happens if it doesn't work? Well, too bad. Can I sue anyone? No. No, everyone's protected themselves. So you're asking me to take something in, there's no science. Oh, there is science, but you hid that. That shows that I've got a chance to develop myocarditis, and I have now brand new information. I'm going to share this tomorrow. A huge increase and turbo cancers. Never heard of turbo cancers? It's because you never got the vaccines. Tomorrow, the science on that, brand new information, and it's staggering. I mean, the numbers are just unfathomable. Any comments on it? No one's commenting on it. So finally for today, again, I'm going to be doing this every day for the next week. So while this may sound like it's taken straight out of a science fiction or a conspiracy theory, these are not unreasonable questions to ask. The World Economic Forum has an active interest in the Internet of Bodies, connecting human beings and the devices through implanted or ingested digital sensors or chips. Well, about the census, quote, which was published in 2021 in a peer-reviewed journal, Springer Nature, it is the stated, quote, envision a future when my data is in my body and is tethered to my convergence of embedded technologies with personal data ownership that I advocate as the way forward, augmented in the future by our two personalized artificial intelligences, end quote. 2019 headline read, scientists led by members of University of Berkeley and the U.S. Institute for Molecular Manufactured proposed putting nanobots into our bodies to create global superbrain, quote, to create the internet of thoughts where instant knowledge could be downloaded just by thinking of it, end quote. Okay. And so you want to give away the total power of your brain, your thinking capacity, to artificial intelligence, and you don't see a downside to that? No, it sounds exciting to me, Gary. Okay. Well, wait till part two of this 10-part series. And everything I'm telling you is fully documented and supported by independent peer-reviewed literature from the National Library of Medicine. So, and now you start to see what they really had intended with 5G. Had nothing to do with making it easier. Remember what I said, they spent $6 trillion on this. They expect a big return on their money based upon the American consciousness right now of at least half the population. They'll sign up for it. Think before you do, because it's here now. It's not the future. It's absolutely right now. We're going to say goodbye to WBAI so they can do the news. And if you want to call in and ask a question, I'll keep the forum open for two more minutes. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And I also want to mention that we wanted to see whether or not they were being honest. And one of the people that I hired almost a year ago now, it's about 9 months, to help update all my old books that I finally, after 25 years of trying to get them back from my publishers, these bestsellers, I finally got them all back, and now I'm reworking all of them, making them brand new and up-to-date and really relevant again. And so I'm putting a lot of hours into this. And one of the biggest is the Complete Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. And our research editor on that, her name is Katie, and she is outstanding what she does. And when the question came up, don't we realize there's no research supporting a lot of what's going on out there? Well, she did some deep diving, and she came up with information that was really startling. And I'm going to share that with you on tomorrow's program, because they said there's no problem, and she found massive amounts of problems. So we're going to share the problems. We're going to tell you what they said and then show you the truth. I don't see any calls up.
We do have Rich on the line.
Oh, we have Rich on the line. Hi, Rich.
Oh, yeah. I'm here, Gary. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, the issue that we were going to talk about, that's not for today. That's going to be for tomorrow. So we're going to give you more information because we have found where they said there's no scientific literature supporting the weaker frequencies. We found over 400 peer-reviewed studies. So how is it that they can say there's nothing exists? And so everybody, move on, nothing to see here. And yet these are studies and they're all negative. They're all bad. So I guess they didn't want us to know That's something that we're now using with smart meters and smartphones and 5G and Wi-Fi. Has all these adverse effects, the adverse effects on your body, your tissue, I'm getting into tomorrow. I want to thank you all for listening. And hopefully today we have Eutrice Leach. She's moved and she had construction going on in her house. And therefore there's lots of noise and she wanted to get that behind her before she went live. And we had hoped yesterday, but hopefully. Dylan, is she live today?
No, she's not.
Oh, she's not. Okay, well, it's not finished yet. And tomorrow, when you tune in to Gerald Salonta, you won't hear him. And that's a good thing. Why is it good? Because Gerald's a friend of mine. And I had a talk with Gerald. And I said, Gerald, you're working yourself to death. And there was silence. And he said, you're right. I said, Gerald, you know, you're running all these wonderful stories in Trends Journal, the best journal of its kind in the world. You're showing people what's happening and why they're happening. Then you're appearing on all these programs. Then you're doing this conference up there. Then you're having to deal with all this in an isolated environment. And I said, when are you going to take a break? Give yourself a chance to go on a vacation. Just rest. Well, he's finally taking my advice. He's off for 3 months to Italy. And then he's going to see about where he wants to live next. Now, Kingston's an interesting city. You've got some wonderful revolutionary time homes right beside a ghetto, interspersed. And it's not the most progressive city. Nice people, but I told Gerald, move down to Southwest Florida. You'll be among people who think like you do and who are doers, who are conscientious. So when he gets back from his sabbatical, we should see a revitalized, energized, focused, and determined Gerald and get his adrenals functioning again from all this yelling. And that's Gerald. That's what makes him unique. That's why we love him. But he is going to be replaced by a program that Kathy Davis has put together, taking the best of programs that you haven't heard before on PRN and giving you something new to listen to. So don't be concerned if you don't hear Gerald. He's on his vacation now, and we wish him only the best to recuperate, rest. He deserves it. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.